around the end of April, commercial fishers received letters or decision notices, I should say, from the department with regard to their catch history. And that was linked to the introductions of quota. Now, we've podcasted plenty about the ridiculous introduction of these things into the fisheries, and we'll continue to do so and advocate for something different. As part of that process, the letters were sent, and we've had some questions around what does this mean for the average commercial fisher around their catch history. In broad terms, with the letters that were sent out, what can commercial fishers do, one, if they have a concern with their catch history in terms of timings, and number two, the role of the 28-day period if you have a problem with the decision? Because I think there were some steps there that weren't clearly articulated in the letters that people received. I'm not claiming anything other than the sequence of those letters was a bit jumbled, so I'd like to clarify that if I could with you. And then the final question, and one that people are asking more and more, is a decision of this kind and this notice has nothing to do with other decisions that might come with the introduction of quota. And why I ask this is that I've read those letters, members have shared them with me, you've had copies of them, and you've had people calling you direct. We've talked about this offline, that a decision will have to come at some point before the 1st of September around quota allocations. And if you dispute that allocation under the process that the department has set up, you can still query that decision. So I'm asking if that is correct or incorrect. So I might hand over to you with question one being, in general terms, what do we need to know about what was in those letters for fishermen to keep front of mind, mate?
Yeah, so these letters, and I'm particularly referring to the net fishery letter and the crab fishery letter. Basically, it's a two-step process. So people have already now got a letter saying from Fisheries Queensland that this is what we believe your catch is for these particular years. I think the net fishery one has it on calendar years, and the crab fishery one has it on financial years. Basically, fishers should not just simply take the word of Fisheries Queensland in that letter as that being the actual kilo catch for those particular years. Not suggesting anything weird going on with Fisheries Queensland, of course, but I have in the past seen where there have been some errors in logbook data, because as you can imagine, a commercial fisher handwrites on the logbook and then submits that handwritten logbook page to Fisheries Queensland, and some data entry person down that end then plugs it into the Fisheries Queensland system. And then ultimately out pops your letter with your kilos. So I do encourage people to check back with their original logbooks to see whether the figures stack up, basically. If they don't stack up and you believe you've been diddled some of your kilos, then you should be contacting Q-Rider, who I believe there's a form that came with these letters, Q-Rider, with an application to seek an amendment of your kilos that are down on that particular decision notice. There's also scope to also substitute years if you literally weren't fishing for one of the qualifying years for one of the relevant reasons that they list, and you can get a substituted year, which I'll go into a bit more detail later in this podcast. But for now, a fisher basically has 60 days to contact Q-Rider with this application seeking an amendment or a substitution of years. All that comes under the Fisheries General Regulation 2019, where it steps through that very process, that's what the legislation provides. Fisheries Queensland have just simply used Q-Rider to undertake that process, simply because Q-Rider does have some previous experience in dealing with multiple similar type claims like that.
Sure, Chris. It's a quick question in terms of a substitute year, and this may impact all of the Moreton Bay fishers, and this is linked back to our previous podcast that we recorded around white spot. If your years were impacted in 2017 and 18 from your catch because people just weren't buying and that affected your catch rate in that year, could you ask for a substitute based on that as a reason, or does it have to be the reasons listed by the department?
You could ask for that, but it is the reasons listed by the department. Like, it's if your personal opinion, it's an unfair process because there would always be special circumstances with people as to why they haven't caught their, I guess, their normal amount in a particular year. And an example of the unfairness, or call it whatever you want, but just maybe poorly thought through system with these substituted years, where a person could have, and I'll give an example in a sort of written form to you in another email, but where you might have broken your back and not being able to fish for 11 and a half months at all, and then somehow you clawed your way out of bed, got out in a boat again in a different fishery and maybe caught one fish in a net. So say you couldn't pull pots, but then you could just catch a fish in a net on the 364th day of the year and you couldn't fish at all. Suddenly you can't substitute that year at all. It's bad luck, you caught one fish, so you have no substitution rights at all under the regulations. Pretty harsh, if you ask me.
In that circumstance, and again, this is all speculative, so I'm not saying this is formal advice to anyone who's listening, but let's use a hypothetical. Let's say that situation did happen. Is that grounds potentially to dispute your history and to go to the department, go through a process, and if they are not happy to take on special circumstances, that you could take the next step to go to QCAT?
Yeah, so this first process with this 60 days to bring your curator claim, that doesn't prevent someone from bringing or seeking internal review under the Fisheries Act itself, 1994. So people always have the right to do that. I'm not suggesting that that example I just gave somehow gives someone rights to be able to seek internal review and then QCAT review if that wasn't if the internal review wasn't satisfactory. But it's certainly a right of a receiver of a decision to, in effect, appeal that decision or review that decision.
Yeah, that's all I was asking, man. I'm not saying for a moment that you're going to get out in the 11 and a half month of recovering from an injury and suddenly you catch one fish and they go with that. I think even the department wouldn't be that silly, but you never know, weirder things have happened. Let me ask you this, and this is in terms of a sequence thing, and there may not be a clear answer. So the 28-day period from when we got the letters in end of April and that 60-day period, is one given more preference than another? So why I'm asking is, let's say, hypothetically, I'm the crab fisher in Moreton Bay. They've given me my catch history. I want to dispute something. Do I initially have that first 60 days to apply to Q Rider to say, hey, there's something not quite right here and I think the error is here? They look at it, and then once they come back to you and it's correct, it's not going to be amended, that you can then use that 28-day period? Like, which one comes in first? Because that's caused a hell of a lot of confusion, mate.
Well, it's all about when did you get the decision. So someone might have their first decision at the end of April or whenever they got it. They've then applied to QRider saying, you got this year wrong, it's, you know, double the kilos or whatever it might be. They'll be getting another decision. So another decision will come back saying, you know, we don't accept what you say, or yeah, we'll give you half, we can't verify the rest, and you still don't agree with it. Then certainly you have 28 days from that decision to seek internal review under the Act. Sort of two things going on. There's the regulation and there's the general or Fisheries Act as well. So the regulation says there's a 60-day process for amendment or substitution, but the Fisheries Act is just always been there saying you've got 28 days to seek internal review of a decision. Technically, people could do both if they wished.
And thank you for clearing that up. And I would strongly advise anyone who's listening, members and non-members, if you have a concern or get some advice, however you can get it, because and I have to say this, you know, well, I'm not the biggest fan of how some of this government documentation is written up, and that's just not a crack at Fisheries Queensland. It's just government writing in general. Reading that correspondence, Chris, you don't get that sequence of thinking in those letters. And I can't say hand on heart that that was done on purpose, but if it was drafted that way unintentionally, then it's caused a lot of confusion and it didn't have to.
Oh, it's really poor. I don't claim to be that smart myself, but I had to actually ask Daff what it really meant, because it was just ambiguous. That's the problem with a lot of these things, particularly to people that may not be, you know, just really wised up to interpreting letters and that sort of thing. Like it can just be really bamboozling. And it certainly is the case that there's a 60-day period under the regulations, and there's still a 28-day period to seek internal review under the Fisheries Act. If someone just chose not to do the 28-day Fisheries Act internal review process, but they still believe they got diddled with kilos, then they should be, within the 60-day period, putting in the application to Q-Rider. If you miss that, you're probably going to be stuck with your figures.
Yeah, and this was not made clear. I've got a couple of choice phrases I'd like to say on this podcast, but I won't, so I want to keep it PG. Yeah, this is unacceptable from a correspondence point of view. These things need to be written with the receiver in mind, and that's not how they've been bloody written.
Eric, just let me ask that, say one other thing.
Yep.
Which will no doubt catch out fishers that might be in the net fishery and the crab fishery, which many are, obviously.
Yep.
Is that I said at the start that I think the net fishery has kilos in the years in calendar years and the crab in financial years. So to check your substitution possibility, if you were out of action for one of those years, a person might have caught, obviously, crab for part of the year and then net species for part of the year. You can't at first glance off the DAF letter determine that you hadn't caught any fish as part of the requirement in one particular year when comparing financial to calendar years. So you're going to have to go back through your logbooks to basically work it out yourself. Now, I don't know why that is the case, where one's calendar and one's financial. There might be a really basic explanation for that that I'm not aware of. But I have had people come into me saying that they believe they didn't catch anything for a particular period because of some particular event. But then I've pointed out to them, well, you can't tell off the letter because you don't know whether you caught, because it's not apparent to me that they caught fish between January to June or from July to December, which at least in the crab fishery bit, that one would arguably go into two different years, if you can see what I mean.
Well, just to wrap up, Chris, one final question and one that I want to just make perfectly clear in people's minds. These decisions have no, not that they don't have a bearing, I'll backtrack on that. It's not about it having no bearing. If there is another decision around quota certificates and what you're going to get, which these letters did not foreshadow, as in this is your a quota allocation officially, when that comes out, if there is a concern with that allocation as a decision of government, let alone the department, can fishermen still go for an internal review and then potentially QCAT if that's a pathway for them?
Yeah, 100%, because they don't know what their quota allocation is at this point in time, as I understand it. So they'll be getting a decision saying what it is. And then if they believe that decision is wrong and some sort of amendment needs to be made, then they can firstly seek their internal review within 28 days of receiving that decision. And then if that doesn't provide satisfaction, then they can take it to QCAT.
I'll make Chris's contact details available as always. Thanks for joining us, and we'll catch you all on the next podcast.